Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chukwi Show. Halfway home with you here on a Wednesday evening. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Encourage you to leave a comment there about anything we've been talking about. The radio.com app is your place to listen to the radio station when you're not in your car. We know you're not spending as much time there, so the radio.com app is the most convenient way to always listen to us. Sports Radio Nights on the Game is helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content that you need. For more info, you can go to radio.com/stay connected. On Twitter, at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all there for you. That's the station. On Twitter for myself, it is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Jarvis is back in Midtown producing the show, at JarvisD90. Well, the DeAndre Baker, Quentin Dunbar story, I can't figure any of this out. It's got, you know, more twists and turns than a pretzel factory, if we're going to use a very old, antiquated saying. Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She is Amy Dash. She is joining us, legal analyst for Fox Sports Radio, CBS Sports Radio, WFAN. I mean, she's pretty much running the world and cornering the market on taking care of all of this and been following the DeAndre Baker story. You can follow her on Twitter. It is at Amy-TV. Amy, thank you so much for coming on tonight and spending a few minutes in Atlanta with us.
Well, thank you for the kind introduction. I so appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Well, obviously, we know about DeAndre Baker here in Atlanta very well in his time at the University of Georgia. Before we kind of get into the latest news with this, give me your thoughts about how kind of suspect is it that you have all these witnesses that were the basis for the charges to start with, and then the lawyers are coming out saying, now we have signed affidavits that are recanting all of the stories. The judge did allow everything to go through, but how suspicious should we in the public realm be when we hear about, hey, we're accusing him, now we're recanting?
Yeah, so there are two possibilities, right, just to be fair to everybody. So the first possibility is that Baker and Dunbar are innocent. That's what the attorneys are claiming, that it was a bogus story, that it was potentially an extortion attempt. They're saying, why would two very recognizable multimillionaire NFL players try to commit an armed robbery at a party where everybody knows who they are and think that they could get away with that? The other possibility, and I'm not saying this happened, but it's a possibility, is that, listen, while these guys were on the run, they did not turn themselves in right away. We know that, okay? Because once you turn yourselves in and you are arraigned, the judge is going to say, no contact. You cannot have contact with the victims. You cannot have contact with the witnesses. That order is going to be made in court. Now, they didn't turn themselves in right away. There was a warrant issued. After the warrant was issued, the attorneys claimed that the five people, four of them alleged victims, just showed up. They just showed up at the doorstep of the attorney's office and said, hey, we're here. We want to sign affidavits and completely recant what we, and this is at Dunbar's attorney's office, we want to recant what we said about Mr. Dunbar. And then with respect to Baker, his attorneys are hinting that they have affidavits from a lot of those same victims. So when I asked, you know, one of the attorneys, well, how did they know you were representing Mr. Dunbar? How did they even know where to go? Why would they go there? I didn't get a very good answer. So you have to wonder, why did they go there? Did somebody speak to them? Did Baker Dunbar speak to them? Did somebody bribe them? Did somebody threaten them? Did somebody intimidate them? And this is what the state and the police are wondering, because the representative for the state said at the hearing that they were going to look into that type of a thing, whether there was some sort of motivation or influence that caused these witnesses to all of a sudden change their story.
What's fascinating to me, Amy, is Amy Dash joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, legal analyst for Fox Sports Radio, CBS Sports Radio, and WFAN. What's fascinating is think about the extremes that we're talking about, because the story is that Baker Dunbar and a masked man had guns, robbed these people at gunpoint. Baker supposedly told the guy in the red mask, shoot the person who just came in to the party, and now we're getting... nothing really happened, and they're playing video games. How could there be such an how could one incident have such an extreme amount of from one end of the spectrum to the, you know, complete polar opposite of another? It just that's the part that fascinates me. Is it's not like it's a misunderstanding. Either they had guns and robbed everybody, or this didn't happen.
Right. Well, it happened so quickly too. And listen, nobody's denying that something happened there. Okay, even the defense attorneys, their affidavits state that something happened. I mean, Baker's attorney said that there was something did happen. There was some sort of commotion. Somebody flipped a table, and then DeAndre Baker ran out of the house immediately when he saw that. It's so much so that he left his Madden video game console behind, which I would assume is very valuable to him if he's toting it around to people's houses, to parties. So what happened, we don't know. Some sort of altercation occurred. But the question is, were these guys involved? Maybe they were mistakenly involved. Maybe originally the witnesses thought they were involved, but it wasn't them. I mean, well, maybe they were involved. It's really a mystery. But if you don't have the cooperation of the victims and the witnesses, and as both sides have said, you do not have any video, any audio, or any other evidence, except for those five people who are now completely unreliable and have their own lawyers, a lot of them, so they may not even be, you know, so quick to cooperate or testify or be re-interviewed by the police, then what do you have? You have no case. There's no case.
Amy Dash is joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline talking about the DeAndre Baker, Quentin Dunbar story. So we hear today that Baker, the story that his lawyer is putting out there is that Baker was playing Madden and something happened and he left, and I don't know, I guess they're going to check the login of the Madden game. I mean, you know, it seems like there's another twist and turn with the news that we got, I guess, today about now what his side of the story is.
Yeah, well, what they're trying to do is damage control, right, because the press has been so bad. I mean, his attorneys are saying, listen, we expect these charges to be dismissed very soon. On the flip side, TMZ was reporting that the police were out, like, hunting for video, trying to find more evidence, because now this is an embarrassing turn of events. And the attorneys are saying, listen, if the police or the state prosecutor decides to move forward, even though we have these affidavits from the witnesses changing their story, well, we're going to have even more evidence to prove that DeAndre Baker wasn't involved. Among that evidence is that he was playing the Madden game, and we'll be able to show electronic records that he was playing this game for over an hour and a half, virtually the whole time that he was at the party, he was logged in. So so essentially the Madden game is like his serving as his alibi. And then they said they're also going to show that it's completely ludicrous that he lost $70,000. They said a bank withdrawal showed that he only took out $1,500 the day before. And then they said, you know, the whole theory that he was running to his car and the cars were pre-positioned for a quick getaway, that's also nonsense, and that it was a gated community and that they have video or they're going to find video from the gatehouse showing that his car was patiently waiting in line behind a bunch of other cars to exit the community. So they're really just trying to completely dismantle the case in any which way possible.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuck Wish Show as we're on the WaitFor.com hotline. Amy Dash is joining us, legal analyst for Fox Sports Radio, CBS Sports Radio, WFAN, as we talk about this DeAndre Baker, Quentin Dunbar case. Obviously, it's a unique time for the NFL with the pandemic and everything that's going on out there. And, you know, history says we never know what direction the NFL is going to go with this. Now, the Giants have said, I guess you're up there, that they don't want Baker for right now to be involved in any of their virtual OTAs and this, that, and the other. Is the NFL, do you think, pretty much is going to sit on the sidelines, let the legal process play out, and then react one way or the other? Because I'm sure at some point the NFL is going to have its say and there's going to be something that comes down from them.
I'm not so sure whether the NFL will discipline if the charges are dropped. If they're dropped, it's essentially like the state saying, we thought we had a case, but we don't have a case. And if the NFL were to discipline, and listen, they've disciplined before when there have been no charges, right? However, If there's no charges, but there's also no evidence, there's no independent evidence, meaning in other cases with the NFL, they've had maybe an accuser who's presented their own personal evidence, let's say of domestic violence, for example, or there's been independent video, you know, or audio of things that have occurred. But here, if you just have the word of five people who are unreliable and you have no other evidence, and the NFL will do its own investigation eventually if they haven't already started, and they'll get whatever they can get from the police, which probably won't be much because the police they've admitted they don't have any other evidence. But if they can't find anything on their own independently to show any type of guilt, then there's no way they can discipline these guys.
Amy, in about I've only got about 30, 45 seconds left. Given the high-profile nature of this case and their NFL players, do you expect this process to move very quickly? I mean, I know, again, we're in a unique situation in the world, but given everything surrounding the story, do you expect this thing to try to move along pretty quickly one direction or the other?
Yeah, typically the prosecutors have about 30 days to decide whether to bring the charges or drop them. Maybe it'll be extended a little bit longer with the COVID environment, but we should know pretty soon. And then listen, the police can always reopen the investigation if they find new evidence. They do not have to close this investigation. But if charges are dropped, I assume the league and the team will have to welcome these guys back with open arms unless something else develops.
You can follow her on Twitter. She is at Amy-TV, legal analyst for Fox Sports Radio, CBS Sports Radio, and WFAN, and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Amy, really appreciate the time. Thank you for being on in Atlanta with us. Continued success, and stay safe, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Same to you. Take care.
You got it. John Chuck, we're here. Coming up next, it'll be time for That's Life. We'll get to all of that next. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chukri Show. Hanging out with you on a Wednesday, 9:21. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You want to leave us a comment. Social media is at 929 The Game. Follow us on Twitter. Reach myself at JMCH316. At JMCH316. Don't forget the radio.com app, too, is where you can listen to us live and catch the station when you're not in your car. Do want to mention, too, coming up tomorrow at 11:30, Randy and Andy are going to have Thomas Dimitrov on. So the Falcons general manager will be on with those guys tomorrow morning at 11:30. And, of course, we will listen to clips of it tomorrow night on the show and break it all down. Speaking of the Falcons, by the way, we will get to a Falcons flyover at 9:40, normally at 9 o'clock. But with Amy Dash joining us at that time, we push it back to 9:40. But, of course, it's that time for, excuse me, That's Life. So, thank goodness it was a little bit of a bounce back today in the market. Now, here's the thing. Jarvis, you heard Alicia talking about flights resuming and casinos and stuff opening, right? You heard her mention about that. Well, so Delta's CEO announced today that they're seeing a big increase in summer flight booking and things like that. So Delta's been up on the uptick the last few days. They're starting to come back up as well. Carnival's been riding a nice wave. I mean, I keep joking. I'm like 32% up on Carnival since I bought it. I mean, and they haven't had a passenger, and they won't have a passenger until August. So airlines are starting to say that things are, you know, looking up a little bit for them. Delta looks like they're going to weather the storm. They're announcing that they're expecting more increase in traffic and things like that. And it's also funny too, Jarvis, because she mentioned about casinos. Because one of the things I have stock in, and I mentioned this, was EVRI, that I have stock. EVRI is the symbol. They are involved in the casino gaming business. They handle, I guess, some of the digital and logistics and things like that for video and digital gaming machines. So they're involved in the casino industry. And their stock shot way up today again. I think it was 12 or 13% that they gained. Now, it's not a very expensive stock to start with, okay? It's only like a little bit more than, I think it closed out a little bit over $6 today. And I bought it, I think, for like $4 or something like that. So it's been kind of up and down and things like that. But it saw a nice jump today. And my buddy at work and I, Chris, we've been waiting for this because he bought more of it than I did, and he got it for a little bit less of a price. He actually got it for under $4. I bought it for like $4.10 or something like that. But we've been sitting back. This is another one of those things that we've been sitting back and holding because we're like, okay, when the gaming industry and casinos start back up, there's going to be a need for this company, and they deal in all this kind of, like I said, digital casino financing and things. I don't know. I can't even begin to explain it all. But they're involved in the digital and video casinos and things like that that go on, and the gaming machines and stuff like that. So there was going to be a need and demand for them when casinos opened back up. So we were counting all that. So we're going to be curious to see how this stock performs now that casinos are looking at opening back up and such. So it's you know, listen, this is where that roll of the dice, you know, you hope, you know, you take a chance on one of these things and you see. And that's kind of what it is. I always tell you guys and gals, don't, you know, you can't invest more than you're willing to lose. You have to assume you're going to lose everything, even though you probably won't. But you assume that you're going to lose whatever investment that you put in there. And listen, I told you guys, I bought 100 shares of JCPenney stock at 16 cents a share. It closed today at 19 cents. Actually, it closed at 0.191 is what it closed at. So I've made Jarvis $3.10 off my investment of JCPenney shares. Thus far, you know what I mean? But it's like, listen, I'm just sitting back and watching and seeing what happens. And, you know, there's talk about, will Amazon buy into them? Will they let them go bankrupt and then buy them out so that they don't have to assume debt and things like that? But I'm just kind of sitting back. I mean, let's see if I can make a few bucks off all this. Hell, for 16 cents a share, I have $16 invested in JCPenney stock, okay? If I lose it, I lose it. They go completely belly up and it's worth zero, then I lost $16. But if it, you know, something happens, maybe Amazon decides to buy into them and assume some of their debt, now it's a whole new ball game. You know, so you roll the dice on some of this stuff and see what happens. But it was just kind of funny because she specifically was talking about airline and casinos. Well, I've got a couple of tentacles in both of those things intentionally. You know, and this is where, you know, getting in on some of this stuff early is kind of paid off on some of this stuff. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, listen, don't put anything in that you're not willing to lose when it's all said and done. Now, as a follow-up to something that we talked about, I can't remember if it was last night or it was Monday night, we talked about South Korea's K-League soccer, right? And the fact that they used sex dolls in the stands to represent fans, you know, along with cardboard cutouts and stuff like that. Well, I guess the league said today that it's imposing a fine on FC Seoul for using the sex dolls instead of just mannequins to fill the empty seats in their stadiums. They fined them 100 million won. All right? Is that how you pronounce it, W-O-N? I'm sure there's probably a different way to pronounce that. It amounts to, in American money, $113,173. They say the disciplinary committee decided to take heavy disciplinary action considering the graveness of the incident caused by the real doll that has greatly insulted and hurt female and family fans and to prevent similar incidents going forward. Now, the club apologized, saying they failed to check the consignment sent by the supplier, though adding it was not aware the dolls were quote-unquote adult products, even though that it's well known that this company makes these dolls or whatever like that. But anyway, and I guess the league also said, too, such advertising is in breach, too, of the competition's rules. But now, listen, I don't know. I guess over there, you know, when you hear like 100 million of their currency, it's just funny to read when you put in American dollars, like, oh, they got fined $113,000. Oh, that's it? 113 grand? Oh. It's like, yeah. Is that really? Because when you put it in the perspective of what they said, we're taking heavy disciplinary action considering the graveness of the incident. If somebody gets fined 100 grand in America in a sports league, is that like heavy disciplinary action? Would anybody qualify 100 grand as heavy disciplinary action? So that's why I say maybe over there the amount that it is, you know, is considered a huge amount, because you know it says 100 million, but it's just funny to see 113,000 American dollars. I don't know what the comparable amount would be as far as what a normal penalty would be or how much above normal this penalty is for anything that happens in the league. You know, maybe it's one of those things where if normally you'd have a $100,000 fine in American Sports League, this is like $10 million worth of fine. I don't know. I can't imagine it's that much if it only translates into $113,000 of American money. But they wagged their finger and showed him. So anyway, all I can say is hopefully somebody got a happy ending out of all of it. Anyway, as we continue along here on the radio show. Now listen, this is what happens when lawyers get involved in everything and they try to ruin things, you know, for us. Johnson & Johnson. Everybody knows who Johnson & Johnson is, right? You know, they make all these different products and have for our entire life. They are going to stop selling in the United States Johnson & Johnson's baby powder. Now think about that. For anybody that's at least my age or pretty close to my age, didn't we all grow up on Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, Johnson & Johnson's baby lotion, Johnson & Johnson's shampoo? Because remember, it wouldn't burn your eyes and sting your eyes, and it wouldn't bring tears to your eyes as a kid. Like, that's all, I want to say honestly, growing up, that's about all we had was all the Johnson & Johnson stuff. Gentle on the eyes, the baby powders. I mean, that's what we grew up on. Now, Johnson & Johnson is going to sell their baby powder still in the UK and the rest of the world, but in the US and Canada, they are stopping sales. And as they said because of a quote-unquote constant barrage of advertising by lawyers seeking clients to claims against the company. Johnson & Johnson has been ordered to pay out billions of dollars in compensation, but so far has always successfully appealed against all of these verdicts. They say almost 20,000 people in the U.S. alone have lodged claims against Johnson & Johnson for their baby powder or their talcum powder, whatever, you know, it is. They say talc is mined from the earth and is found in seams close to that of asbestos, which is known to cause cancer. Johnson & Johnson remains steadfastly confident in the safety of its talc-based Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, the company said in a statement. It said decades of study by medical and legal experts around the world support its view. Now, here's the thing. If you go back in time and look at all the products that we shoved into our systems and bodies and on our bodies and stuff like that, we've all made it, right? I mean, all the Johnson & Johnson stuff, and you can't put this on you, you can't eat this, they had to change this, you have to do this. Like, how was it, if it was so bad, why are people of my age not keeling over from it? And with all due respect, 20,000 people, it isn't hard to find 20,000 people to want to be a part of anything when it comes to, can I make money off something like this? But, you know, it's another one of those things of your childhood, or at least my childhood at my age group, that is going away. No more Johnson & Johnson baby powder. And let me tell you, if you're chafing and things like that, let me tell you, you really appreciate baby powder, Gold Bond. Jarvis, do you use the Gold Bond and stuff like that? You ever in the summertime? Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Gold Bond and stuff like that. Yep. Baby powder, Gold Bond, you appreciate those things as you get older, and that chafing can be a real thing, let me tell you. All right, when we get back, we will do some Falcons flyover with you. We'll hear from Raheem Morris as he was speaking to AtlantaFalcons.com writers today. It's all next. It is the John Chuckwa Show coming to you live here on Wednesday night, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back at it on the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hanging out with you here on this Wednesday evening. Don't forget the radio.com app is what you need to download to be able to listen to the radio station outside of your vehicle. Social media is at 92.9 The Game. Follow myself. It's at JMCH. 316 at JMCH316. And as a reminder, tomorrow at 11:30 tomorrow morning on Andy and Randy's show, they will have the general manager for the Atlanta Falcons, Thomas Dimitroff, will be joining them. And of course, we will break that all down and react to what he has to say tomorrow night on the show. So reportedly, the Seahawks have offered Devontae Freeman, of course, former Atlanta Falcons running back, have offered Devontae Freeman a one-year $4 million deal. They obviously, with Rashad Penny coming off the ACL, general manager John Schneider is saying, quote, it's going to be really hard for Penny to be ready for the regular season, working his way back from the ACL. Now, the reports are that Freeman wants more than what the Seattle Seahawks are offering, but look, I would tell you that he's not going to get the one-year $6 million like Todd Gurley. He's not getting that. He wasn't that productive and doesn't command that kind of number. And let's face it, I mean, he's got to prove it. So, you know, it'll be a one-year deal. But honestly, 1 year for $4 million, I think that's a very fair and respectable offer. Now, Gurley's getting $6 million, but he's getting a lot more money than that because the Rams are obviously eating a bunch of his salary. So there's a lot more that, you know, Gurley's on the hook for a lot more than $6 million, so it's a little bit different scenario. But with all due respect to Freeman, he's got a lot to prove. And even talking about Todd Gurley in the season that he had last year, well, still was better than what Devontae Freeman did. From a yards and touchdown perspective, it was still better than the numbers Freeman put out. Right, wrong, or indifferent, no matter whose fault it was or was not or what have you, still the numbers were better for Todd Gurley than they were for Devontae Freeman last year. So we will see. That's an interesting situation. If they don't think that Penny is going to be ready, for the season, that's not a bad backup plan. That's Devontae can still help your team out and keep you afloat. He's not, 1,000 yards and probably 10 touchdowns anymore, but if you need a guy who can be part of a good offense, and listen, he can still catch passes out of the backfield. Say what you will, but he can still be a competent receiver for a team like Seattle coming out of the backfield. So Isaiah Oliver and a group of other defensive backs and wide receivers are doing some work at local parks during this pandemic to try to stay in shape. Oliver said during a video conference call earlier today, quote, been able to get out to some fields, limited times, obviously, but a couple of days and get with other guys and with receivers and kind of work the techniques and things like that. We definitely have been doing that these last few weeks, and I'm looking forward to getting some more of that in. He said they've really not been structured, but they do get competitive. He says players have done some one-on-one individual drills and 7-on-7 work. Haven't been out there with Matt. The receivers, really, Devin Gray, Olamide Zaccheaus, Christian Blake, Russell Gage, Ridd, all of those guys, they have been there. When parks are open, then they were closed, but some are reopening out there as well. And he says DeMonte KZ, Chris Cooper, and Jordan Miller, among others, have joined them, saying that we've gotten together a couple of times. It's been good. We've been trying to make it feel as normal as possible, kind of trying to go through the same things that we'd be doing if we were able to be at the facility. Now, of course, we know the Falcons were able to open up yesterday, but since April 18th, they've been going through their virtual OTAs. Excuse me, their KAV OTAs. It's definitely been very different for sure, but something I feel like we've adjusted to as a unit, as a team, and then as a defensive back group. It says the Falcons make point of attack tapes for all the players. They have individual things to work on over this season. Oliver said, quote, my point of attack tape, the biggest thing was connecting my hands and feet at the line of scrimmage so that I can press technique and things like that. I've really been working on that. And, of course, listen, Oliver, when the pass rush amped itself out, found himself playing much, much better, certainly the second half of the year, and working with Joe Witt Jr. Quote, he's coached a lot of really good DBs, a lot of guys that weren't necessarily supposed to be good DBs, but ended up being really good DBs, if that makes sense. So he's talking about Tre'Mon Williams, Sam Shields, among others, during his time in Green Bay. And they say that Witt supposedly wants Oliver to attack the ball better, wants to turn some of those breakups into interceptions. Witt saying, quote, we're going to make sure that we can pull the ball off people. That's one thing in Green Bay that we did better than anybody in the league over those years that I was the secondary coach in Green Bay. We intercepted more balls than anybody else in the league. I agree. Listen, it's one of the things that this secondary. Now, listen, Desmond Trufant last year had a career high in interceptions. And he's always been a guy that if he could just catch the football would have good interception numbers because he's there to make the play. But that's one of those things that this team definitely, we've talked about this for a few years now, even before I was doing this show, is the fact that, this team needs to intercept more passes. They don't do a great job of intercepting enough passes. They get a guy here and a guy there that does a good job, but not consistently as a team enough. KZ, I think, 2 years ago led the league in interceptions, but as a group, they just don't get enough of that. They just don't get enough, of those types of turnovers, for a team. If you're going to be one of the top defenses in the league, you've got to sack the quarterback. You've got to make some turnovers. You have to do some of those things. You have to be able to create some of that. Now, sometimes, that's fortune. You either catch the interception or you don't. But, you know, first, obviously, is getting in a position to be able to make that play. And then second is, when those plays come, you got to make it. And that's what killed the Falcons, you know, a few years ago, when even though they had injuries, there were games to be won. There were games that could have been won. The Cincinnati game, Trufant catches that interception, that game's over. Cincinnati doesn't continue their drive and go down and score and win that thing. So there have been games that could have been won that if they capitalized on things like catching interceptions, you know, would have won them some games. And who knows, maybe put them in the playoffs, whatever like that. So that's the thing, even with the injuries and such like that, there were opportunities the last couple of years to make plays and capitalize and create turnovers and do things that could still win you football games, but this team was not good at doing that. They were not good at all at capitalizing on that and capitalizing on other teams' potential mistakes. So Raheem Morris talking to AtlantaFalcons.com, and of course he's been watching the Last Dance documentary as well, and being a part of all of it. They talked with him and they asked him about who did he think that some were some of the leaders in Atlanta's locker room that have some similar qualities to Michael. He said, quote, "We've got a few guys on our team that have some of those qualities. Julio is in his own way, Matt Ryan in his own way, Debo in his own way, Grady in his own way. So when they watch The Last Dance as a leader, they see how to pull a person along, how to bring them along, how to get people to a different level." Now, of course, you know, listen, don't know that anybody is Michael when it comes to that kind of thing. And, you know, Julio, I don't think, is the vocal kind of guy. Maybe secretly that we don't know if he is, but I don't know that Julio is, you know, the kind of guy that's going to be the same kind of vocal, you know, person that a Michael would be, demonstrative and, you know, even challenge guys to fights and things like that, basically. Morris says he also has a new perspective on Michael Jordan as well after watching The Last Dance. He was 14 years old, and this is just crazy. 14 years old when Jordan won his first title with the Bulls. Let's see. What year was that? Was that 92, Jarvis, when they won their first title? It was 92? 91, 92, something like that. I guess I was what? 91? Okay. So I was 18, 19 years old, somewhere around in that range when they won their first title out there. He wasn't a fan of Jordan at the time, preferring to root for teams that could beat the Bulls. So, you know, kind of one of those, you know, anybody but Chicago types of fans. Quote, "I was always kind of one to go against the Bulls a little bit and cheer for the Knicks in those days and some of the other guys that were losing to them. But I realized watching the documentary, as I'm watching Michael Jordan play, I realized I spent half my life hating the guy that I really loved the most. His competitive spirit, what he does, how he is with his teammates, it's somehow what we always want our guys to do. We want them to be more demanding. With that comes a price at times. People say you could be considered as a bad teammate. With that comes a price at times that you could be too hard on somebody, or you could have a way about yourself that doesn't come across the right way. I think he was able to get the best out of his guys and himself, and it pushed everybody to excellence." Well, you know, listen, I guess, as Dalton said in Roadhouse, you know, opinions vary, you know, on it. But certainly, they won all the titles. And they won the titles while he was there during all of that. All right, and Hayden Hurst spoke with Mina Kimes on one of the ESPN podcasts, talking about some of the things going on about what he's doing in the offseason, talking about some of his mental health issues and things like that, and how he's had to, you know, overcome that, and certainly the remote offseason program. Hurst thinks that the work that they're doing right now is going to lay the groundwork for what he and Matt Ryan are going to be able to do this year, saying, quote, "That's helping me a lot. That's really going to pay off during training camp," talking about he and Matt Ryan's relationship with one another. And listen, we know Matt, when you give him a good, competent pass-catching tight end, not just Tony Gonzalez, not just Austin Hooper, you know, Jacob Tammy and some other guys, when you give him a guy that he can throw to and can trust, he'll utilize that guy. There's no question about it that he'll utilize a guy like that and make him a definite part of the offense and build that trust. And Hurst is a guy coming with a lot of potential. Maybe he hasn't quite materialized the way that he or the Ravens had hoped it would, but you know, a casualty of other guys that have beat him out of his spot. Now he comes here with a chance to thrive. Because it is an offense that you have a quarterback that will find you. You have a lot of personnel around you that takes some of the pressure off you having to be the guy. I mean, Hayden Hurst is what? Is he, you know, maybe right now the number four or five guy? Probably four. I mean, Julio, Ridley, Gurley, that's your top three go-tos offensively. In anything offensively, that's your top three go-tos. Hurst probably there, you know, with Treadwell or somebody like that. I mean, that's kind of where you're at with it. So Hurst has a chance to have a really good season, put up some really good numbers, and let's hope that finally, you know, his talent all kind of comes together for it. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, it will be time for our NFL Squib Kick. We'll get to all of your NFL news of the day. It is the John Chuckwood Show, hanging out with you here on a Wednesday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.